You're listening to the Mako Minute, the 482nd Fighter Wing Podcast.
All right, guys, it's been a while as Chief and I and Leo been here talking and laughing, trying to catch up, talking about why it's been a while before since we've done Custer's Corner and the podcast here as well. I wanted something beneficial to say, not to waste anyone's time. There was also the furlough that took us out for an unprecedented amount of time. It's great to be back, everyone. What I will ask post-furlough, please individually help folks out around you. Check your LESs, check your leave, check your good year. I think we're all straight on that, but if you have any issues in that realm post-furlough, please elevate those through your leadership, and we'll make that our focus in there. With that, mostly I want to say welcome back post-Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had time with however you celebrate, whether that's by yourself, hopefully not, but with family and friends, got a little recharge as we move into the December UTA. I'd ask you to do the same thing as we move into the next holiday, Christmas season, how you celebrate. Please take the time to recharge. We always hear that, recharge. What does that mean? You know, for me, it's, you know, hanging out with family, going deer hunting, watching TV, watching movies. My wife loves it. I always watch Band of Brothers, you know, back to back to back, over and over and over. That's kind of my recharge. So whatever you do, please spend the time with your family, your friends, and enjoy that time away from here or wherever you're working, especially our citizen airmen, who I'm always impressed with how you come back to work on a UTA weekend after being gone a month and just jump right into it and being the experts that we ask you to be. Because January gets real. That is the year of our deployment. It is a real thing. It is not going away. It's not going away. And I'll talk more about that here in a second in there, which helps us focus into January UTA prepping. February, the MGFE ops maintenance will jump out to Red Flag 26.1 for 2 weeks as a major movement, major event with a few hundred folks and our 12 jets to do that as a combatant commander requirement for exercise training in that realm. Right after that is Bamboo Eagle on his heels. Transparency, I put forth, and the team here has put forth a lot of data to show why we don't need to do Bamboo Eagle, and it doesn't benefit our wing as we prep for our deployment. So more words to follow on that, but I expect post-Red Flag will be coming straight home to turn into Patriot Forge, which is the major muscle movement for this wing. For what we've known as the DCW, side note, new Chief of Staff of the Air Force, General Wilsbach, they're doing a major meeting and operational planning to determine if DCW stays the way we've planned the past 2 years. You know, in full honesty, I don't know. Will it be what I expect to be 90% or more of what we've talked about? Yeah, I do. Will it be called something different? Possibly. But it doesn't change our focus in that we're going somewhere as a wing, and to be official, at the proper level, tasking is already dropping. So this is real. That's why I ask over the holidays that you focus on what you need to for yourself and your family, because it will be real. As we move into Patriot Forge, which we know was rescheduled from November to March, that's a good thing because it gives us more time to train and prepare, work as a unit as we're at Dobbins with the A staff and the cabs, down to here at Homestead operating the MGFE and the MST, the Mission Support Team, and we will have a contingency location where some jets were forward deployed to. That location, we don't know right now where it's going to be. It was going to be Avon Park, but that's scheduled, so we're looking at other places for a movement. My point there, it's in March now, not November. As I said, more time to train. What does that mean? It means the aperture is probably tighter, what we're being evaluated on, because we've had longer to train, longer to do it right. So it may be a very in-depth, hard look. So I have full faith in this wing as you focus on being the experts that you are, that will succeed very well, because it's going to start that Friday prior to the March UTA with processing lines, getting out of here Saturday and Sunday, exercising through the full week at Dobbins and here, rolling right into that next weekend into the UEI. So that's why we're focusing hard at the leadership level with your commanders in making sure you're prepared. And that's where I ask you guys, if you don't feel you're prepared, you're not focused on the right things, you're not getting the resources you need to meet your requirements, please elevate those up. Post the Patriot Forge, we'll recoup and then back to local stuff, if you will, and then right into June to a WESIP, which sounds like some jets will go to Hill for that to continue the major weapon system training and validation there. And then we come home, and then it's October, which is fiscal 27, which is 27.1, which is where that deployment will happen for longer than the wing has ever gone at one time as a group. In this period, I ask you, please get yourself right. Focus on your medical. Focus on your AFSC specific training as we move into this unit of action. You know what you need to do, and I trust you guys to make that happen in there. This is also a time where I talk to you about focusing on your family and yourself. This is the time not to wait till the UTA prior to go, oh my goodness, I don't know how my bills are set up. I don't have a power of attorney for my family members. I don't have a will. That can't happen in one UTA. And I know that our JA Corps is already working on that, setting up the meetings and things you can do online to help set that forward. So please, please, please do not wait till the last minute to make sure that happens. Because it only matters when it's supposed to matter, and we hope it never does. But please set yourself and your family up for success. With that, I'm going to turn it to Chief here for a second. I know she's got some announcements and a couple things to say.
All right, sir. Yeah, just a couple things. Just kind of echoing what the boss said, just with in the season and spirit of gratitude, just thankful to be part of this team, and hopefully you guys are going to have that time to spend with your family and those that matter most to you. Here both in Thanksgiving and coming up with Christmas and the New Year. So I wish you guys all the best for that. As far as big changes go, I'll start with the personal one. My three-year AGR tour is going to be cut short pretty significantly by about 2 years and some change. So I was just recently selected for 4th Air Force, so I will be moving back to the West Coast to be the command chief there probably sometime early spring. That's what we anticipate, but no firm dates yet. And the boss is actively working to get a replacement lined up for me here soon. So hopefully that selection will be made and that announcement will come to you guys before the new year. That's the hope. So humbled by the selection, intimidated by the size, and you know, not sure I was going to ever make. I'm about five past where I thought I'd be as far as my Air Force career goes. So this is a big step up and a lot to think about and process. And that will take some time to do that. As far as the wing goes, some big lifts. I just want to make sure, sent an email out this morning regarding the first sergeants. We have several vacancies in the wing. That first sergeant review process that was mentioned to your leadership has been extended. That suspense is now 15 December for packages. So anyone that's interested in being a SHRT, please see one of the very few first sergeants we have in the wing or come directly to me. Happy to answer questions and help develop that package, close the gap, and fill some very critical vacancies. So if you're interested and eligible, I'd love to speak more to you about that. Annual awards are coming due, so I hope that we're taking the time to recognize our airmen. That can be done at the junior and senior NCO level, so that's where I expect those things to be happening and those nominations to be coming through. We have a lot of talent in this wing that runs deep, and a lot of work has been done, particularly here recently in the last several months as we overcame furlough and shut down and all things that ensued for us with that. So please take the time to nominate your people and submit the packages. Other than that, boss, that's all I got.
All right. Appreciate that, Chief. Again, I'm gonna laugh here because Leo and I were talking about this a minute ago. Chief just has that perfect voice that I asked her if she'd ever seen the NPR SNL skits, and she had not. So when we're done here, I'm going to bring them up. And if any of you know what I'm talking about, I think you'll get what I'm saying. If not, please go do it as she's over here turning red now. So Chief, just under a year by the time you leave, what a huge loss to the wing, but the impact you've made already is huge with some of the processes, mentoring our senior enlisted, because we have a charge to build the next generation, not only to recruit and resource and train, but to retain. And if folks want to continue to serve and not serve here, we set them up for success. And she has really set that ball in the roll, continued from the previous command chiefs here. Our next selection will be just as good. I promise you that one. As we continue to move the wing forward. So she's my buddy, and I'm going to miss her with some of the things we share and laugh about in that realm. with that, folks, continue to focus on yourself in that realm and what you can do, especially on the medical side. We have those things. Chief and I just went through some medical things as well, trying to get ready for things. She's had a surgery. I had a surgery. We had robot arm stuck in our guts to fix stuff, which I don't really care about. But Chief's was a hernia, right?
Yeah, and note to self and everyone else out there, maybe don't push them back in and wait about 8 months because they get a lot bigger over time.
I'm glad
for that on the back end.
I'm glad she got it fixed because she'd go around and say, "You want to see my little kid?" You know, her little monster hernia sticking through her shirt. So yeah, glad that's over. And some of you guys know I 6 months ago diagnosed with cancer. So I had my surgery a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. Tomorrow actually, healing up well. Things are good, and they got it all. So I'm here to again saying, focus on yourself, be proactive. Maybe not wait months and months and months to fix your thing because it won't fix itself in there. So here's where I'll wrap it up. Faith, family, mission. You hear me say it a lot, and please do those things. You guys are absolutely amazing. I have zero doubts as we deploy as a wing that we will crush it as we always do. My big focus is we don't just crush it. We come back not broken, and we're able to get back up on the ramp as we decide post the deployment and keep moving forward. So keep leaning into it, moving forward, communicate your ideas, your challenges, and the solutions you have with that. So Chief, anything else?
No, sir. You tied it up beautifully.
All right. Appreciate that. And guys, we'll see you out there this UTA. And that's all I got. Custer's out.
Welcome to the Mako Minute. I am Technical Sergeant Paul Cook, 42nd Fighter Wing Public Affairs, and I hope you feel honored because I got this giant room for just you and I to talk in.
I do feel special. This is great.
Yeah, here we are. We're in the wing conference room, and yeah, it feels like we're talking in a giant auditorium right now, and it's just you and I.
Yes.
So, but we're going to talk about some really important things. And then first of all, I'd like to introduce you. So you are Master Sergeant Sylvia Carrillo.
Yes.
And I understand for everybody that lives in Miami. Yes, I know I am saying Carrillo, but she said it's okay for me to pronounce it that way.
It is. Because if not, you have to roll the R's and then the L and it becomes Carrillo and it's okay. Carrillo will do.
It's not going to happen for me.
Yes.
I've been down here a long time, but I still can't do it.
We just keep it simple. Carrillo works.
Carrillo works just fine. You can tell you've been in the Air Force long enough. No, yeah. It's fine. Well, you know, my last name being Cook, I love to mess with people. They're like, "Oh, well, your name's easy to pronounce, Cook." And I'm like, "No, it's pronounced Cocinero."
In Miami.
And I always get dirty looks for that one.
That's but
at any rate, so you're from the finance department, okay? Ooh. But is there a more specific name to the finance office? Like what is it officially called?
Well, it's called financial management, the whole career field. And there are more specific
Hang on one second here. Why am I not seeing
my voice move?
Yeah. All right, let's try that again.
Hello?
Okay, that's much better. I don't know why we did that. So we're going to start over.
Okay.
And we're going to try to do the laughter
about how
I butcher your name.
Okay.
So hello, this is Hi, this is Technical Sergeant Paul Cook from the 42nd Fighter Wing Public Affairs, and this is the Mako Minute podcast, and I am joined by Sylvia Carrillo, and yes, she has allowed me to pronounce her name that way. But go ahead, please, for everybody who lives down here in South Florida, can you say your name correctly?
Yes, my name is Sylvia Carrillo.
And I can't do that.
Yeah, so we're just going to keep it Carrillo.
Thank you.
And that will do.
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Because it's just not going to work for me.
Yeah.
So Master Sergeant, you work in the finance office.
Correct.
But there's like a more official name to it. It's not just an office. I mean, there's more to finance than just that, right?
Yes, there's a lot more. And depending on where you work in finance, you can either work on the FMF side, which is called financial management, and that's kind of just customer service based kind of thing. And then it's also the FMA office, which we like to call the budget side. And that's where all the budget tasks happen, you know, the RA and the funds and the budgeting and cost analysis and all that kind of stuff happens.
Okay. And by the way, just real quick, do you feel special that I reserved this giant room just for you and I to talk in?
I do. I'm feeling myself today. This is great.
Yeah, we're in the wing conference room, which has amazing acoustics. If you can't tell already, you can say something on one side of the room in a whisper and hear it on the other.
Yeah.
So, but it's just you and I, and well, no, it's not. And that's not true. I have Sergeant Alvarez Torres. She's here as well. She's hanging out and helping out. So first of all, just go ahead and tell me a little bit about yourself. So we know so far that you work in the finance office, but tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I already told you my name. My name is Sylvia Carrillo. Mm-hmm. I work in the finance office, and I worked there both as a military member and as a civilian. So I'm here all throughout the week and also on the weekends, which helps out a lot. I have been in the military for 22 years now. Mm-hmm. I joined back in 2004.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move your hand off of that mic stand there because I can hear hear that beautiful ring tapping on the...
I'm going to have something in my hand. I live in Pembroke Pines with my husband, and mm-hmm. we have a combined family. Mm-hmm. We have four kids total, 25, 22, 11, and 2.
Wow.
That's a big range.
Wow. I have my wife and I, we also have four kids.
You do?
Yes. Yes. And it's busy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Very much so. But it's good to have that big family and the other ones being older because they help out mm-hmm. with the little one who's mm-hmm. 2-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. That's for sure. I have my 16-year-old. Well, my 18-year-old is in college now, but my 16-year-old, I told her, I was like, listen, I'll pay for the car. I'll pay for the gas. I'll pay for the insurance. Just drive your siblings around. Yes, I won't ask questions. Just get them to dance, get them to the theater.
Yeah. Take them to the movies, practice, whatever.
Just,
get them out of here.
I'll pay for it. I don't care.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel you on that one. So, let's see here. I tell you what, before we dive into some of the other stuff in your personal life, I really kind of want to get into finance. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say something to you. And I didn't prep you with this one.
Okay,
because I wanted your natural...
I see your face and I'm like, ooh.
I wanted your natural reaction.
Okay.
All right. So, all finance does is...
I know where this is going.
All finance does... is cut our paychecks.
Right, right.
That's all you do.
That's a negative. That is a negative ghostwriter. That is not it at all.
What percentage of the work that the finance office does is cutting the paychecks for the troop members? Like what would you say? I don't need an exact number, but just right off the top of your head, like I mean, we're talking like, is that 1% of your guys' job?
I would say like 5.
Okay.
Like a solid 5.
Solid 5%.
Yeah.
So there's 95%.
Goes behind the scenes that you guys never even... find out about.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. We're like the little finance little people in the background.
Well, you know, because you guys do training. What is it, on Fridays? You guys do training?
During the week, we do trainings on Wednesdays.
Okay.
We close noon. In the afternoon. Yeah, we close at noon. And then on UTA weekends, we close in the afternoons on Sunday.
Okay, for training.
For training.
And that's...
okay. Everybody hates that. I know.
Hates it. Hates it. And I tell you, and this is whatever, this is, okay, first of all, not what everybody says, but this is a common thing that says is, oh, it'd be nice if I could close my office for quotation marks training.
Yeah.
Oh, like, what are they doing? Yeah. All they do is write our checks. Yeah. Like, I don't know. So tell me, so what do you got?
Everybody hates that, but I think people don't think about, we are also military members. Mm-hmm. I also have to keep up with my military training. Mm-hmm. I have to keep up all my training records correctly. We as FMers, we need to keep up on FM certification. This is a DOD FM certification that we need to keep current every 2 years by doing CETs throughout those 2 years to keep current. Mm-hmm. So those are mandatory trainings. Like if we don't have that, we cannot work as a finance member.
Okay.
And then we also have to do military trainings. We have to do our CBTs. We have to do shoot, you know, like go to shoot if you're deploying. You have to do deployment trainings. Because
you guys have to shoot? All you do is you have a pen and a calculator.
No,
right?
Man. I get to carry an M9 if I get deployed. Like, I got to learn how to do that.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So like, what would be the number one thing that finance does that would like blow the mind of somebody like I have one in mind, and I'm not sure we can talk about it.
Okay.
But
Secret Scroll stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll bring it up right now.
Okay.
Right. I'll bring it up and we can always edit this if we have to.
Okay.
All right. But you and I did an exercise together. We had mop gear on and we were out there in the field and in tents and stuff like that. And the inspector came up with an inject for you. And I was out there as public affairs, and I was just kind of waiting for my inject to come. And an inject came to you, and I was like, hey, can I read that? And you're like, yeah, sure. And you handed it to me, and you were like, all right, here we go. And it said, you have been robbed of $250,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm. That's
You're like, yeah.
Standard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why would you have a quarter mil in cash in that environment? Like, can you talk about that?
I can, I think. There's nothing really specific. That's just for us to be able to keep operations going. Mm-hmm. You know, like I forgot to bring the pictures, but I was going to show you the pictures of the bricks of U.S. dollars and foreign cash that we have at the deploy location.
Going to make me envious of.
I'm going to show you after this. I'm going to bring it so you can see. It's real cool. But you need it because you're going to be paying things. You need to be able to keep the transactions going. Mm-hmm. We help with, like, if it's a bear base, for example. Like, let's say you're going to a bear base deploying. We don't do much like of those anymore.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, okay. You have to buy everything.
Right.
So you don't know how much you're going to need.
Like you're saying you can't just fly everything in on a C-17. You have to purchase stuff
there. You have to purchase food. You have to purchase service. You have to purchase. Sometimes we have to build a new flight line from nothing. Mm. And you have to, like during COVID, we spent copious amount of money on antibacterial wipes and hand sanitizer.
Right.
And we had to get that in the local
wherever you are.
So you need to have the cash for it. And then people, the bazaar comes and people like to buy rugs and all that kind of stuff. And they need cash because you don't want your credit card information going through all of that and that kind of thing. And we don't want to keep U.S. dollars floating around either in the foreign environment.
Right. So everything from the, so you need cash, everything from the basics to the extreme,
like from toilet paper all the way to like jet fuel.
Really?
All that, yeah, we buy all that.
Wow.
Like salt and pepper shakers. like that's what you like, have everything. Like
it's a little more than just than
mattresses,
just cutting our paychecks,
refrigerators,
right?
Beds, toilets, hand sanitizer, everything.
Wow. So if you had to sum up, so what financial management does? What FM financial management? What do you guys do?
We fund the mission.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just saying simply,
we
fund the mission. Everything needs money to work. Like the AC, this room that we're in right now, the fact that we have power, this equipment, cool equipment that we have here, somebody had to buy it.
And that was you?
Finance.
Essentially.
Yeah, me. All me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And one of the things we talked about before was like budgeting and cost analysis, risk management, stuff like that. So like can you get into the little whenever we think about budgeting, we think it coming down from Congress gives us a budget and stuff like that, but what's the budgeting that you guys do at the wing level?
Well, what comes down from Congress to the wing for them us keep everything going all year round. So MXG will get their own budget, the wing will get their own budget, and then we have RAs that help us go ahead and do all that, like buy, pay for people that are on orders. You have to buy golf carts, paper, printer cartridges, services that come in, contracts that we have with different places, paying the bills, AT&T, keeping the phones on. There's so many things. Recycling, pay for that, trash pickup. And everything that keeps the base.
Just like we all do in our households. House.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like we are keeping the checkbook and the checking account for the base, just like you do at your house.
Right. Okay. All right. And so what's one area that you really enjoy out of all those aspects?
I've worked pretty much on the FMF side, which is the financial management customer service side. I worked in all the areas. I worked travel pay, I worked military pay, I worked civ pay, I did deputy disbursing officer, cashier, paying agent. But the one that I enjoyed the most was quality assurance. That to me is very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because you get to see how everything moves and at the end, how all that presents itself to the base and how we do our things every day. Like the fact that you process vouchers at the end of the day, there's a regulation that says you have to process this voucher within a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And quality assurance keeps that timeliness.
Okay.
How much money went out? Like, okay, one person was able to process 300 vouchers equaling $1 million, or 2,000 extra vouchers because they were on orders here for this amount of time. So for me, being able to look at all of that and then see, okay, yeah, they're doing well, and then writing it like this area, this section is really kicking butt.
Okay.
And doing very well. And then you get to write that and send it to the comptroller. You send the base commander, gets a hold of it, and then people get more appreciation. Like the fact that everybody thinks that finance is just sitting there writing checks and being on breaks for training.
Yeah, but you're actually highlighting when we're doing it right.
Right, MICT checklist. We have like 10 MICT checklists in finance alone.
Wow. Okay.
So when things are not going well, like the QA gets to look at that and then help improve it.
Okay.
You know, like you write it up, you write the discrepancy, and then...
You're okay.
Sorry. You write the discrepancy, and then you come up with a plan to make it better, and then you watch it for a year, and then now everything's great.
Hmm.
And they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Okay. All right. So what are some of the cool things about FM? So like, okay, let's say this. Let's say you've got a brand new airman in the office, right? And they're like, and they show up and they're like, all right, yeah, I'm in finance. So that,
yeah, the day to day operations is not that fun. It's not that cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it. It's just boring. You know, it's admin stuff. You just sit in there. Next, kind of like that, you know, like
customer service
kind of stuff. And the customer service comes in different ways, CSP and emails and phones and by person, but it's the same all the time.
Right.
The cool part about finance comes when we're deployed. That's when you get to see all the operation, how everything works, and become a part of the mission. Like, you feel like you're really a part of the mission because you see where your work goes. Like, you actually buy things. You'll see from the plan, hey, I have $2 million, but the commander needs $3 million, so I'm going to contact, you know, CENTCOM and get more money, and then he's going to be able to do that. So, and then seeing all the cash going downtown to open a new account. Like, the base has to have their own account, so we have to go downtown and open an account.
Oh, wow.
For the United States Air Force in a foreign country.
It's wow.
Pretty cool.
I would, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
Yeah, making payments. You go downtown to make payments. We had to buy something, I don't remember what it was, parts for like a truck or something. Mm-hmm. So we got to go to the port when I was deployed downtown. We didn't speak the language, so we're like translating it on Google and trying to get, you know, like, oh, help me out. We need these parts and all of that. And then here I am with a backpack full of cash asking for...
Which is why you carry an M9 pistol.
Well, we don't carry it downtown.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We have, you know, security forces.
Security forces come out there and watch your back when you're doing it.
Right. And then sometimes they come over to the base, and then we meet them at the gate, and it's kind of like a drug deal kind of thing. Like, here's the cash, give me my goods, and I go back.
And just to specify, drug deal, that's a term for all those not... in the military, when we say drug deal, it just means you're not doing something shady.
A suspect exchange.
But if somebody saw from the outside, it would look like something shady, but I promise it's not.
It's not. No, I promise not.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So
that would be some of the cool things. Stateside is not a lot of... Yeah, there's not a lot to do. There's not... We're more of an admin type of work. You know, like, it's more admin...
Okay.
Type. You just customer service, you answer phones, you take care of the problems. But then when you go overseas is when you set up a brand new office, you set up your bank account, you do transactions, you deal with military members from other countries. That's also very cool.
Yeah, but also, like, you mentioned customer service. I mean, that's a huge part of the job, having good, because somebody's coming in there to talk to you about their money,
and they're usually not happy if they're coming usually there. It's not because happy. They didn't get paid.
Something went wrong,
right? And people and money, and not getting paid
doesn't go well. No. And so having that customer service skill to be able to smile, look that person in the face,
and have them trust you that you're going to take care of their problem.
Right.
You know, and actually having the knowledge and being able to help people out. That's very rewarding as well.
Is that something that an FM troop would learn in tech school? Or is that something when they hit the ground, it's like, okay, look, we need to work on your customer service skills. Like, is that something you guys coach on a little bit? Or?
Yeah, they go over a little bit in tech school, kind of like etiquette, customer service, phone etiquette, and email etiquette, that kind of stuff. But then when they get here, they kind of learn... you know, like, this is how you talk to people. You have to understand. We coach them through. Like, right. People are going to come in angry. Don't take it personal. It's not about you. It's not about your job. Just go ahead. Make them feel comfortable. Give them what they need, the regulation references, and work through it and make them confident that you're going to take care of their problem.
Right, right. Exactly. That's unbelievably important.
Yes.
I mean, because especially when your money's messed up and your wife calls you and says the money is supposed to be there and it's not. And I'm saying that very calm. I don't know about some other people and their relationships with their spouses, but the phone calls that you get about money that you thought was going to be there usually is not a good one.
Yeah.
And so they're walking into your office already primed.
And that's one of the very important things that we do during deployments is to make sure that this doesn't happen to the members. And that's one of the things that is very important to us as finance people, FMers, mm-hmm. is to make sure that you don't have to worry about anything back home.
Okay.
That your money is taken care of, that every 1st and the 15th, you're going to receive the money that you're expecting.
Right.
Your family is going to be able to be fed. Your cars are going to get paid. And you don't have to worry.
Right, right.
That's one of our biggest goals.
Okay.
Just make sure that they're there and money is not one of the things that they worry about.
Right, right. Exactly. The important stuff. So, okay. So we're coming up to the end of the fiscal year. So mm-hmm. the fiscal year closeout.
Yes.
What does that mean?
To us FMers, that just means like new year. Like for everybody, it's just like December 30th for everybody. For us, it's mm-hmm. September 30th. That just means that we're closing out everything that happened a year prior, that mm-hmm. we're reconciling everything, closing out everything, filing all the documentation that needs to be filed, and preparing for the next year.
And okay, so, but I kind of feel like you kind of glazed over it a little bit.
Yes.
Like this is it's not a big deal, but. Yeah. It is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
And so tell me a little bit about like for example, one of the things that we talk about a lot is a CR. So what is a CR?
A CR stands for continuous resolution.
Okay.
And that happens. Okay, so we get our money from Congress.
Uh-huh.
And by September 30th, the Congress ideally will have passed the appropriation bills, allowing us and giving us giving us the ability to keep operating.
Okay.
Okay. And that's, the bills are passed, everything's good.
Okay.
Lately, mm-hmm. the last couple of years, we have not been able to have this happen by September 30th. So what happens? We get a continuous resolution, which mm-hmm. means that you are just given a temporary authorization to keep operating and avoiding a government shutdown.
And that's
what would happen.
And that's when it gets really difficult. So that's when say for example, my laptop that mm-hmm. I use every day to do my job, so mm-hmm. it breaks or whatever, or it's out of date, I need a new one. Mm-hmm. And so I go to the boss and I say, "Hey, I need a new laptop." And they say, "Well, we don't have money for that."
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean we don't have money for that? Like, this is the United States Air Force. This is the United States government. What do you mean we don't have money for that?
There are several things that could have happened behind the scenes uh-huh. to make it to where we didn't have money for that computer at the moment.
Right.
That means that we didn't plan accordingly, that mm-hmm. we didn't put out, you know, the request that you needed for requirements at a certain time. That mm-hmm. means that somebody messed up in their budget and that happened. But most of the times, we're just operating at very skeleton kind of money when the CR happens.
In the CR, it is just like your nickel and diamond.
Yes. You just have what you need to keep it open pretty much, but you're not going to get any bells and whistles. They're just going to give you what you need just to keep it operating at a regular, you know, but there's not going to be additional money for orders. There's not going to be additional money for supplies. All that stuff starts getting skinny.
Right.
And very difficult to get.
Yeah. That's it's kind of a scary thing when you think about it. At our level, I mean, I'm not trying to make a bigger like worldwide statement here. I'm just saying, just at our level, when it's like, okay, how long could I make this stuff last?
Right, and how much can I do? Because we just keep we're one deep in a lot mm-hmm. of places. So sometimes we know that the reservist helps us a lot with customer service and things like that. And when the CR happens, a lot of times we don't have that additional money. We don't have that additional help. So now I have to do the same work with one person.
Wow!
And that one person is now doing the job of three people, four people sometimes.
Ouch!
Yes.
Yeah.
and you, like some other units, are not able to keep their training going. Like, we're supposed to train and make sure that you have the time and the supplies and people going to school, different courses to keep them up to date with everything, and it makes it difficult for that to happen.
Yeah, it definitely does. Is there anything else you want to touch on about the fiscal year closeout or the beginning of the new fiscal year that you think people should know about?
For just everybody to know is the planning part. Mm-hmm. Planning is very important for the next fiscal year. Like, so if you, and that's everybody, you know that you are planning on going to a school next year, let your supervisor know, let your RA know, let your commander know so they can plan for that for next year. Because sometimes it doesn't happen right away, but 2 years from now, you're able to find that money. Or something happens, some money, somebody's not able to spend it, and now the money is available, you can go ahead and pull that and make that happen for yourself.
Right.
So planning is very important.
Okay. Yeah. Look ahead as much as you can in your crystal ball.
And try to take all the environment in consideration, like what's been happening lately. Like every year we kind of get a little bit less money, and we're... Mm-hmm. You know, expected to do a little bit more
with less. Yeah.
So
basically we're all sitting here. Come on, budget.
Yeah. We're literally watching the news at midnight and see, oh, did it pass? Finances like that. Did it pass? Is it through? Are we good?
Oh, wow.
It's stressful. Yeah.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. And then everybody else is like, oh, finance, call them. They got money. There's money. Go ahead.
But there isn't. Or maybe there is.
Maybe there is.
Or maybe, yeah.
It's just not ours. We just can't spend it.
Wow. Yeah. That is difficult. That is difficult. So one thing I want to ask you too is that, so how long have you been wearing the uniform now?
This December is going to be 22 years.
22 years?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I am originally from Brazil, and I've always wanted to be in the military.
Yeah.
But in Brazil, in 1994, when I was still there, I was 15 when we left, women were not allowed to be in the military yet.
Okay.
So then I came...
Like, at all?
At all.
Really?
Yeah, at all. And then we came here, and I joined ROTCs, and I was always into that kind of stuff, and I always wanted to come in. So, but people were like, oh, they're not going to take you, because when we came here, I wasn't a citizen. I was just a green card holder, regular, you know, what do they call that? Permanent resident.
Okay.
And people are like, don't even bother going there. They're not going to take you.
They talked you out of it?
Yeah. Well, they tried.
Oh, they tried.
Obviously, they didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
But yeah, they tried to talk. Don't even go there, you know, because you're going to create problems for yourself. My mom was very nervous about it. You're going to go to war, and they're going to put you, you know, like you're going to die.
Yeah.
Don't go. Stay here. And I always wanted to come in. Originally, I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
So I wanted to go to school, but there was no money for school. You know, my parents are immigrants, and I didn't have a way. So that's one of the big things that also helped me make up my mind to come into the military.
Okay.
The fact that I was able to go to school. And I haven't stopped. I'm still going to school.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you find time with, you're married, 4 kids at home. Well, are all 4 of them at home?
No.
No, okay. 2 at home.
The last 2, yeah.
Married, kids at home, working full-time job, which is commingled with your part-time job as a reservist.
Yeah.
And then you still find time to go to school.
Yeah, there are weekends, you know.
What drives you? What keeps you going?
What keeps me going? The fact that I can do it. The fact that it's available to me now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, some people don't even realize that there's a lot of people that want to work and don't have a job.
Right.
They want to go to school and they don't have money. There's no way to do it. And just the fact that I can, that I'm able, that I can just show up and say, oh, I want to take this class. Okay, here you go. You could do it.
Just the opportunity to do it.
The opportunity to do it and to have it available to me. And I think that's why I'm going to forever go to school, because it's there and I can do it. And it keeps my brain going.
Mm-hmm.
And I like helping other people. I like helping the junior FMers to keep going. And another thing, I'm a believer. So I believe that I'm to do everything to the best of my ability. So every time I show up, I try to have my work show as a testimony of God's presence in my life. So I like doing the best that I can because of the ability that God gave me and the opportunity that God gives me to come in and work. So work is my way of serving.
You got nothing holding you back?
No.
That's an amazing way to look at life.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great. Yeah. That's actually very inspiring to listen to.
Thank you.
And since we're talking about the fact that you like to help junior members, if we went down to the other side of the base into that secret building where we keep the time machine, right? You know about the time machine, right?
Sure.
Yeah, of course you
secret
do.
Secret stuff. Yeah. No,
somebody right now is listening and they're going, see, I told you they had one. I've been telling them for years that they've been hiding it at a homestead, the time machine.
It's behind that tree, remember?
Yeah, it's right behind the tree. Yeah, you knock twice on the second or third branch. No, we don't have a time machine. But if we did go down to that fictional time machine and we got in it and we went back 22 years when you first put on the uniform, what, and you only could be there for 2 minutes to tell your former self of 22 years ago advice of anything, but you only got 2 minutes, what would you tell yourself?
Number one, don't let anyone tell you your dreams are out of reach.
Okay.
That's the major thing. Like, you show up, let them tell you no. Don't talk yourself out of any opportunity.
So, because you had that early on.
Yes, and many other times throughout my life that people told me, oh, don't do that. They're not going to approve that. Don't even send in the package. You're not going to get it. And I was like, let me just try it. Let them tell me no.
Yeah. So number one,
show up. Listen to yourself. Listen to your gut. Don't let anybody tell you that nothing that you want to do is out of your reach. Like, if it's in your gut, if it's in your spirit and you want to do it, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is invest in TSP early. As much as you can.
The retirement stuff that we have.
Yeah, the thrift savings program.
Okay.
For retirement.
Yeah.
Invest on that.
Do it right away.
Right away. Do it a little bit as early as you can get. That's going to keep building it up. Don't wait until the last minute. And don't leave money on the table because the government, we match your whatever you're investing. So there's a lot of people, I talk to people and they're like, oh no, I'm not doing TSP. Like, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Do you realize that we're probably not going to have Social Security by the time we retire?
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that's number two.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is take pictures.
Take pictures.
Take pictures. Photos.
I love that because 22 years ago. So for all the young people listening, we didn't have cameras on our phones.
Yes.
Well, we didn't have phones.
Right.
We didn't have cell phones, let alone a camera in our pocket at all times. So
take pictures. When I first joined the military, we were in BDUs.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 2 pictures in BDUs.
Really?
That's it. You know, and I was thin and young and no gray hair, and I only have 2 pictures of that, you know?
Oh, wow.
So I would have loved to have more pictures, especially in my military environment, you know? Like, just things that I was doing, people that I was around, just take more pictures.
Yeah.
You know, document it for yourself, for your kids, for your grandkids.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about, so you were talking about TSP, the thrift savings plan and stuff like that, and investing in your retirement. So say somebody is listening to this and they're not in the military, right? So, I mean, that message goes to them as well, right? I mean, start saving or investing early on, right?
Yeah, on something. Find something. Find a 401k. Find an investment. Find a way for you to save money and have your own thing, especially for young women.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rely on other people for your retirement. You know, there's a lot of women that I speak to now that we're going into the retirement age. Oh, my retirement plan is whatever my husband has.
Mm.
And then, like my parents, Social Security is $2,000 a month. What are you going to do with that?
$2,000 a month.
What are you going to do with that?
Not much in South Florida.
So imagine 20 years from now, the people who are now graduating high school and now going into the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as that becomes available to you, invest in it.
Wow.
Or even if it's $20 a week, $20 a month, whatever you're sending is better than nothing.
Hmm. And since we're talking about the younger people and some of the younger troops and investment and whatnot and their own finances and stuff like that, I'd like to talk to you about DTS. So DTS, which I affectionately refer to as the Devil's Travel System.
Yes. It's not that bad, really. I promise you.
Okay, it's not that bad. I have to say, now that I've used it more and more, it's really not the devil's travel system, which it's the defense travel system is what it is. But when you first start using it, it feels like the devil's travel system just because it is. There's a few things in there that are just not user friendly.
It's very intimidating. Yes, at first it's very intimidating.
Yeah. So if you were going to tell some of the younger troops or even supervisors and stuff like that, I mean, how much should they invest in teaching the younger members to really learn DTS?
Oh, I would say invest as much as you can. Like if you got an hour a UTA to go into travel and like pick up whoever is doing IDTs or whatever, hey, sit down here, I'm gonna walk you through this. And then get that one person to be this me, you know, and like teach everybody else, because you're gonna be able to take care of your own things. And that's gonna help, especially like close out, making sure that you're not on the overdue lists, that you're taking, because after you come back from any place that you've been on orders, you're supposed to file a travel voucher within 5 days.
Right.
That rarely happens. Almost never.
I wish I had a video of your face when you said that rarely happens. The expression on your face
was, my eyes rolled all the way back.
You were looking at the back of your skull.
Yeah.
Because it was like, rarely happens.
Never.
Wow.
So that would help out, you know, having somebody that's, hey, I don't know how to do it, can you sit down with me and go over, you know, and show me how to do it. And after you do it the first couple of times, it's just click here and do it. But at first you're like, I don't even know how to start it. I don't know where to go. I don't know the language this thing is talking.
Or it'll throw a code back in your face. Like I remember the first time I did it, it was like per stempo code or something, and it was like, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, like, some things you don't even have to worry about. The thing is just talking in the background, and you just let it talk. You know, as long as you put the information that you were able to put in, the rest just kind of happen in the background.
Okay, so treat it like my mother-in-law. Just
I didn't say it, but
ignore that she's talking, and just know the work is going to get. Okay.
I didn't say it, but yeah, and it pays out so much quicker than having, you know, regular travel vouchers. Remember before when we used to do 1351-2s and people, you know, travel voucher packets, it would be long and it would take 10 days to process. Now you see your money within 2 days.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it in my pocket, please.
That's it.
Yeah.
But the more you use it, the easier it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And you already know who is going to go to next. So you can pick up the phone and it's like, hey, my stuff is at your level. Can you just go in there, take a look at it and approve it? Bam.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Yeah. So after everything that we've talked about and stuff like that, which, by the way, you're doing great. I know you were kind of nervous when you walked in the door. Are you still nervous? Do you still feel a little nervous?
No, I'm cool now.
It's not bad, right? Like, this is
just
really...
Just like DTS.
Just like DTS. This is... Yeah. The Devil's Podcast. No, that's not what it's called. So, but is there anything that... anything else you want to talk about before we go? I mean, is there anything that that I haven't asked you that you want to highlight or anything like that?
If I'm given the opportunity, I guess I just wanted to let all my folks at FM know that they are doing a good job. They are appreciated, even though they don't hear from the base a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it sounds like everybody hates you, I walk around and I get good feedback from most people, and I wanted to let them know that they're appreciated, that I do love my job and I love working with them. And
I have to say, like that's super, promote now. Sir, can
please
we
listen to him? Go ahead.
Promote now. Like that is that is what a supervisor is supposed to do, right? I mean, you get a platform, you get to talk, but you use it to talk about your people.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I do appreciate them. They come in Saturday morning ready to go.
Yeah.
The amount of work that gets done on the weekend is crazy. The tempo is nuts.
Yeah.
And training and making sure the customer service, and they have like so much training to do, medical appointments, their own PT tests, issues that went on throughout the week. People that come in, oh, I need help with this, I need help with that, my travel voucher, my GTC card, I need to buy this uniform. So many things happen in the UTA, and people come in Saturday morning and work to the bone.
Fired up, ready to go.
Fired up all the way to Sunday afternoon. It's amazing.
That's excellent. And I can say that I love the customer service in our finance office here, by the way.
Thank you.
Like, I think you guys do a great job. So wonderful. And I'm not
tell
just
you,
saying
tell
that,
your friends.
Yes, tell your friends. Yes. And I'm not just saying that because I want to get paid on time. So no, I mean it genuinely. And I hope that after some people listen to this podcast, I hope that some of the things you talked about, that it broadens their mind on the FM finance does more than just write our paychecks.
Yeah, and I hope it does too. And if anybody has any questions about anything to do with FM out there, I'm here every day.
Wow.
Every day. Stop by, ask me the question. I'll get you an answer. Even if I don't know how to answer, I'll get you the answer. Come by, stop by, have a little cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Meet my folks.
Well,
we're great.
Master Sergeant Silvio Carrillo, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
That about wraps it up for this episode. If you'd like more content from the 42nd Fighter Wing, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. We'll see you next time on the Mako Minute.